And that sound means the start of another Missal for the Masses. And this is the 47th Chaplain's Assistance Motor Pod. I'm your host, Gary, and this is the podcast where I talk about my life in collecting G.I. Joe and other military and adventure toy lines, and where most every episode I talk about a vehicle, playset, or trailer from the G.I. Joe, a real American hero toy line from 1982 to the present day. To start, there's a few timely news items I want to briefly talk about. As you're listening to this, the biggest news item is now on sale, if not sold out, at comic shops everywhere. That is Skybound Entertainment's Void Rivals number 1, published by Image Comics. This was leaked by Bleeding Cool News to Robert Kirkman's chagrin, evidenced by his tweets on Twitter. The Talking Joe podcast wrote a thoughtful full write-up on Facebook about it, and they've been covering it as the week has been going on. This news came out Thursday before Joe Fest. So I'm recording this now. It's Wednesday. I was able to pick it up. I have read it once. I will not be talking about the comic book This Missal, but just to go over what's up with that is, in summary, Robert Kirkman and Skybound are bringing back G.I. Joe and the Transformers in a new Energon universe. Transformers number 1 will go on sale October of 2023, Duke number 1 on sale December 2023, and Cobra Commander number 1 in January of 2024. The art is by Lorenzo De Felici with colors by Matthias Lopez. De Felici teamed up with Kirkman previously on Oblivion Song, so check that out if you want to get a feel for his style. I feel it apes a bit of that of Chris Samnee of Daredevil and Firepower fame in figure form. His inks appear to be lighter, and also in Oblivion Song, when he drew the alien or other dimensional antagonists, his style had a different life to it. Lopez is the colorist, and my leading guess is his Instagram handle is at Matt Lopez. That's at MATLOPES, and that's on Instagram. And his website, MattLopez, MATLOPES.com. So this is a new Hasbro universe. It is not a secret that Robert Kirkman is a G.I. Joe fan, and it's even more evident in the back of Void Rivals number 1. Personally, without really getting into a review of the book, I can say from experience with Kirkman is he's a really solid writer. I discovered him through The Walking Dead, which led to me reading Invincible. I feel Invincible is his best work, and The Walking Dead is nothing to sneeze at. I've read Oblivion Song, which is a solid series, and Die, 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 which I felt was a quality book, but its gratuitous violence is like a genre unto itself, and it's just not for me. Finally, there's Firepower, which I'm thoroughly enjoying. Firepower is kind of a mashup of Iron Fist and Master of Kung Fu, Shang-Chi. Go figure that an action figure comic from the 1980s has led me to read martial arts comics. Now, not to confuse all these comic issues, is issue 301 and beyond of Larry Hama's A Real American Hero Tale. This will continue to be its own separate universe in Hama's stewardship. Hama posted on Facebook that he's going to San Diego, which hopefully means that the Eisner Hall of Fame winner's announcement will be made at San Diego Comic-Con, which is only weeks away. And when I originally wrote that, it has been announced via Diana Davis on her social media that, you know, G.I. Joe 301 will be on sale approximately November of 2023. But it seems the formal announcement will be at San Diego Comic-Con. Now, one thing I'd like to mention is I remember the confusion of people regarding G.I. Joe comics under IDW and the lack of understanding of how two different universes coexisted amongst the three titles published. I hope Skybound does a better job in marketing to get new and returning readers and support reader retention. G.I. Joe's sales numbers were very weak, at best, during the end of their respective lines at IDW. Personally, I'll vouch for the quality I've seen in Skybound's titles and hope that reputation raises these Hasbro properties for popularity and, as a result, longevity. I'm sure that I'll be talking G.I. Joe comics next missile.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Next up is Legends of the Hidden Force Kickstarter, finally funded after creeping in the 90th percentile for a while just before JoeFest. It closed at $41,000 of a $35,000 goal, a little shy of their first stretch goal of $43,000. These ninja-themed O-ring figures, in the same vein as Callsign Longbow and Operation Recall, will now begin the long process of production. I visited their booth at JoeFest, and he had his prototypes displayed. I wish them smooth sailing as they begin their journey, partly selfishly on my part because I backed it. They look cool, not generic as the many ninja mold reuses as Hasbro ended up doing during the 1998 to 2006 middle years. He showed off his figure stand concepts, which I feel add dynamism to the O-ring figures. He accomplishes this through modular wedges that are mounted on the stands, and because they are triangular, they can be mounted one of two ways. At least that was my initial impression of it. The whole assembly will be clear, and I think it will make great additions to any O-ring style figure. The stretch goal unlocks did not make it, but could still be made available during the backer kit portion. So let's consider this a developing story.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
In I'm the Last to Talk About It news is the HasLab Dragonfly. I must admit, the classified Dragonfly is a mild update of the original that was based on the U.S. Marine Corps AH-1T Sea Cobra, and it's not offensive. The nose and canopy are the biggest departure, with a more rounded shape and a pointier nose. This is accompanied by machine guns on either side of the fuselage above the chin gun. The weapons pylons have a modular setup, allowing some changing by the owner. They have a Sidewinder-inspired creeper missiles on the outermost tips with blast effects available. There is light-up displays and external lights, and the cockpit rendering on Hasbro Pulse looks really nice. It comes with a base that has a clear conical mount that gets lit by those LEDs. This will be a big copter at over 34 inches long, but I don't expect it to be as wide as a Hiss. Personally, I like it. The classified series, I know I need to cool on because I know that having the complete collection eats a lot of space, and the line is still growing. That said, this will make a great centerpiece in one area I have my collection displayed. I am more likely to have this and not go with my Hiss tanks. I still think the Hiss is great, and it's actually a cool toy, but I can think of an easier display for myself with the Dragonfly versus the Hiss. The Night Force Ripcord is the first unlock, and it has just unlocked today. And unfortunately, I don't feel Ripcord fits thematically. Unless you live in the Sunbow world and you believe you can parachute to safety from a helicopter. I'd love to see Airborne or Crazy Legs as one of the future unlocks. Another thing I want to point out is Flint is a warrant officer, and his secondary MOS is helicopter pilot, so he can assist Wild Bill in the cockpit. And speaking of Wild Bill, the rendering looks great with the two revolvers and knife. His hat comes off for his hair, and his glasses are removable. But the final detail I wish they included was a pair of headsets, at least for Wild Bill and his co-pilot. Another thing to use could be Breaker's helmet. Either way, riding in a helicopter is loud, and I feel the classified series should reflect that. The only other thing I could add about the Dragonfly is perhaps they could offer a tail rotor like a traditional helicopter. The Dragonfly is already funded with the first unlock unlocked, and it's just a matter of the next 5 weeks, how more unlocks do we get? The last two unlocks have not been yet announced. In summary, this shows the strength of the Joe brand in 6-inch scale, as the last Marvel Legends campaign, Robbie Reyes and his Dodge Charger-like car, and Star Wars Black Series Rancor failed to fund. Also announced just before Joe Fest is Dan Klingensmith's latest volume of Creating G.I. Joe, Volume 12, is available for pre-order. Klingensmith is not going with the Kickstarter model for this volume, and it is found on his website, creatinggijoe.com. That's Creating G.I. Joe, all one word, that's with two G's, .com. As a huge fan of this series, regular listeners know I'll have this on pre-order shortly, as my credit cards do have to cool off a wee bit from Joe Fest. He stated before he has enough material to publish through Volume 14, and I'm going to get and devour every volume he publishes. I've meant to mention this earlier, but there's only a couple days left in Bob Brecken's My Palitoy story on Kickstarter. I've always been curious regarding Palitoy and also their relationship with Hasbro. Bob Brecken was at Palitoy the entire time, and he's essentially written about everything that Palitoy ever did in this book he has on Kickstarter. I've backed it because I know this will fill gaps in my knowledge, and the prospect of this excites me with anticipation. And if you're interested in this kind of stuff too, just search for My Palitoy Story on Kickstarter, and it should come up. And this, like I said, I'm recording this on Wednesday, and I believe by the time I publish this, there's only going to be like a day or two left. So I really wish I mentioned this sooner, but it looks cool, and I wish him the best, and I'm going to do my part and support it as well. Now, this episode is going to be a departure episode from my usual format, as I'm going to talk about going to Joe Fest 2023, and this will not be a review of a trailer, playset, or vehicle. My apologies to all listeners who were expecting a review of Rotoad this Yojo June. Also, apologies to anybody that's upset they won't hear me complaining about the nuances of 16 valves per cylinder and two exhaust pipes coming out of one cylinder while the other cylinder doesn't have any exhaust pipes coming out. Joe Fest Toy and Comic Show is a G.I. Joe themed toy and comic convention held annually at the Augusta Convention Center in Augusta, Georgia. 2023 was the sixth year held, and this was my first time attending. I've wanted to go the previous five times, and this year I worked on what I needed to do in order to go. By the time I was ready to book a room and get tickets, it was pretty late, in that the host hotel was booked up for months. So I clicked on one of the other hotels recommended on their website and figured it was going to be pretty close. So I packed up all my extra Chaplain's Assistance Motor Pod t-shirts and flew out the Thursday before the show. The trip went down smoothly and I Ubered to my room. That's when I found out I was about 5 miles away from the convention center and wondered if I should have just rented a car. Overall, I should have just done my homework better before planning this trip. But that's what you get on your first go-around. You learn things. Either way, I started texting Casey from Podcast From the Pit and Jason from Order of Battle Pod to find out what I was going to do. It's Thursday night. The plan became have dinner with Casey and Matt and head over to the host hotel afterwards. When we got there, after dinner, I started to hang out, and the guest vendors even started a small lobby swap in the hallway that night. Just from the half a dozen guys that were strewn in the hallway, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Todd from Destro's Toy Den had a bin on top of some pegboards and with figures, and at the top of the bin was a Tiger Force Outback. The show hadn't even started, and I was seeing some rare stuff available for sale. Friday, the show started at 6 p.m. with early birds at 5 p.m., so I woke up with time to kill, to say the least. Late in the morning, Matt and Casey picked me up, and we went toy hunting at some local comic shops. First shop we went to was Big Dog Comics that was only a few blocks away from where I was staying. It was a big store and really clean and organized. I looked through the comics and came close to buying a Batman 416 because I had that one as a kid. Decided against it and walked around the plethora of toys they had. Pricing was okay, basically what you'd pay on eBay with shipping. Some were a little higher, others were a little lower, but you had a look. They had a General that looked complete for $200. If I drove, I might have bought it, but its size made it a no-go. Its size and the current state of my collection's organization also made it a not wise choice. After looking all over, we all got something. My find was two Iron Grenadiers for $55, one with a file card and some of the loveliest gold paint I've ever seen. We stopped at an antique store down the street that was a bust, but then went to a comic shop next to Walmart. It looked like they were mostly set up for Warhammer. The back issues were barely organized, but I managed to find three Iron Fist issues for my Iron Fist comic collection. We grabbed some lunch at Popeyes and headed to our last pre-show shop in an older section of town, and it was in this little brick building. They warned me about the last time they were there, but we went in and it was like a little gem of a place packed to the gills with finds all around. I saw some old Marvel trades of G.I. Joe Special Missions and G.I. Joe Order of Battle. I passed on those. Matt picked them up. In the back issue bins, I saw a raw G.I. Joe Special number one. For those that don't know, this is the last Marvel G.I. Joe comic printed that came out after issue 155. It was based on the shelved Todd McFarlane pencils for issue 61 that, as I'm told by the After Action Report guys, Hama rejected and got Marshall Rogers to do. So I flipped it over for the price, and shocked I saw $30. But there was a catch. The note on the sticker said, cover detached. So we all passed on that, and I instead dug for some Devil's Due issues that I needed to recomplete that collection. He had some G.I. Joe figures there, too. I picked out a 2002 two-pack Hawk that was mislabeled as 1991. So that's all my pickups from before the show on Friday. So we all headed to the convention center. We wandered around before the show as there was still time to kill and ran into Hooded Cobra Commander 788, also known as Brian. We chatted for a few and we talked about how some people were already wandering around downstairs during vendor setup. Brian showed us a way to preview the show and we got caught by the organizer, Ed Schumacher. He said it was cool and to check it out. Well, my three compatriots all had to leave for reasons, leaving me alone, so I walked down the stairs and walked around for 30 minutes checking everything out, keeping a low profile. Hands in my pockets, keeping my mouth shut. This was the biggest G.I. Joe show floor I had ever been on. I checked my watch and it was getting close to 5, so I knew to make myself scarce. I had a dinner appointment with Brian and some of his audience at the Magic Mushroom at 5:30, so I wanted to get my Joe Fest band so when I returned I could just walk right in. I go to plan my escape, and there's security perched where I had entered. There was an elevator nearby, kind of behind him, that would dump me, again, behind him. Well, when the elevator emptied me, I'm nonchalantly walking back to the host hotel, and the fire alarm goes off. So I hurriedly and innocently walked around the building and got in line to get my bracelet. After I got my bracelet, I wasn't allowed in because I didn't have the early bird pass for Friday. I ended up going to have dinner at the Magic Mushroom, and because I was making such good time, I got there extra early. The rest of the party slowly gathered as we waited for our reserved table. Hooded Cobra Commander was such a gracious host as the Kitchen Vipers made us all wait an additional hour as, like the Seinfeld scene, they knew how to take a reservation, but not how to keep a reservation. I ended up getting a Small House Special pizza, and it was actually pretty good. By the time we got out, Friday's show had ended, but the lobby swap had just begun. There was easily a dozen guys that had more stuff, and I ended up scoring an absolute mint Sky Shark. That's the 1990 chromed Sky Patrol Toys R Us exclusive based on the 1984 Shark. And I also got a really nice Rattler four-wheel drive for my Vipra. The Rattler four-wheel drive is a Cobra Stinger repaint from 1998, Toys R Us exclusive. It's in dark blue and white color scheme. I also got a few carded figures to open up for my collection because the pricing was right and I like to open my things. One of them was a comic three-pack with Zap, Grunt, and Snake Eyes, which I bought just for Zap because it is the best O-ring Zap, I think. I also got a 1994 Stalker and a 1993 Heat Viper. Satisfied with my scores, I left for the lobby and hung out for a few hours before heading back to my room to end the day. Saturday began in earnest as I had the early bird ticket. Arriving early to the convention center, I reacquainted myself with StratoViper72 from Twitter. He also goes by Doug. I met him at HCC's dinner, and I didn't put 2 plus 2 together at the time. I was more concerned with the good conversation than anything. Anyways, we palled around for most of the morning, looking and shopping. First stop was Larry Hama's booth, and I just wanted to get my name on the list for a sketch, opting for a bomb strike. My thoughts were to say hi to Mr. Hama when I picked up the sketch, because usually he's working hard the entire show. The line to meet and greet him immediately spread down the aisle, and the con crew reactively made it more convenient to meet Robert and Brian Atkins and Brian Shearer, as Mr. Hama's line was going in front of those gentlemen. And those guys do deserve guests too, because they're great artists in their own right. After a little browsing, I introduced myself to Brian Shearer, as I have bought a ton of sketches of his online, and I have also supported his Kickstarter and Indiegogo projects in the past. During shopping, I had two things on my list, a G.I. Joe Retaliator and Cobra Earthquake. When I finally laid my hands on an Earthquake, its size immediately made it a no-go. Joe Fest doesn't have an attached UPS store like the Joe Cons I attended did, so I wasn't going to be able to fit this in my luggage. The first scores I got were a 1994 Lifeline, a 1994 Shipwreck, and a 1993 Headhunter Stormtroopers, and these were all loose complete. And with all these scores, you might notice a theme appearing. I also walked around and got a Multiverse Massacre toy from the booth that also was Fresh Monkey Fiction. It's a homage to the Create a Cobra from the 90s and modern articulation. I also went and got from one booth the Cobra Command team of Cobra Commander, Baroness, and Destro. This is also one of those 1998 three packs. The bubble was damaged, and I got it at a nice price to, again, open up because I wanted the blue-colored Baroness. From that same booth, I also got a Night Creeper leader, where it looks like somebody had slit the bubble to pull out one of the mini comics. So this is the 1993 Night Creeper leader. I didn't have one loose complete. This one's going to absolutely open up and fit that. And then, you know, walking around, I got a 93 Outback. And again, this is a comic show, so I picked up four more issues of Daredevil to get me within 9 issues of the complete Daredevil run. And by that, these were 4 issues of Volume 1 to complete my Volume 1 collection, because I've already completed Volumes 2 through current, which I believe is Volume 7. A couple more quick scores before my first panel of the afternoon was I scored a Disco Cobra Commander, which is the 91 Cobra Commander with the red face shield. I got it because he had his glider, which had been eluding me. It also came with his launcher, but no biped for the launcher. Now, flashback to the first lobby swap, I passed on the same Cobra Commander because it didn't have the glider, but it had the launcher and the biped. So I don't know. I haven't gone into my collection yet, so I don't know if I'm still going to be trying to complete my Disco Cobra Commander. And then next to last thing I got before my first panel was an Argentinian Arpuro, which is the Tiger Force Airtight. And this has been a grail of mine ever since I discovered it. I am an Airtight stan. I love Airtight. He is my brother from another mother in New Haven, Connecticut. And I was really thrilled to find him at what I thought was a competitive price at Destro's Toy Den. Unfortunately, when I got home and I was unpacking, I did discover that the little hose peg at the bottom of the backpack had broken off, which was probably the reason why I got them at such a good price. So I have two choices. I can either get a new backpack or I can, quote unquote, fix the backpack. And right now, with my finances being what they are after this trip to Joe Fest, I have decided that I'm probably going to make a fixture to hold this, and I'm going to drill a little hole, and I'm going to make a little pin, and then I can put the hose back on the backpack. So I will probably just end up fixing the backpack with a little pin epoxied in. So at this point, you know, I talked to Doug Stratoviper. We bumped into Jason and Joel from Order of Battle, and again, Matt and Casey from Podcast from the Pit. And we're all kind of like, and Matt and Casey had already gone up for the first panels, and I was waiting for the first one in the afternoon, which was for Operation Recall. Now, there was one other big celebrity there that I really wanted to meet. I haven't met him in a long time. And by that, I mean Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant Slaughter, I originally did meet in 1986 at the Middletown Sidewalk Sale. And I remember that day vividly. It's also where I picked up my first airtight. So I wanted to get in line for him. But his line was just as long as Larry Hama's. So it's getting tight. It's getting about 15 minutes before the Operation Recall panel. And I headed to his line. There's only like five people on the line, so I just snuck right in. Him and his team were doing really well, you know, greeting the fans and doing the Cobra clutches. And I'm looking at it like, wow, I can actually make this. And I did. I got in and I met Sergeant Slaughter and I told him my little story. I says, he's like, oh, nice to meet you. And I says, well, this is actually the second time. It's been 35 years, 36 years. I can't do math right now. It's getting late, but it's been 37 years. And he immediately remembered Connecticut and, you know, he had some nice stories to share with me. And he was such a gracious guy. And that was another thing about this con that I'll touch back on. But I got my Cobra clutch. I got a classified figure. I got his classified figure signed. It couldn't have gone more swimmingly. And he was so pleasant and it was awesome. So with basically what I felt was 95% of my shopping done and out of the way, I headed upstairs to the panel room where Operation Recall was being hosted by Carson Metaxas. And he gave a great 45-minute presentation on where the project stood and getting there with the contributors, the guys who submitted the ideas that got chosen, and just walked us through a little bit of the process, and it was great. You know, there was a pack of cards. He made trading cards for the Operation Recall. He asked us what we wanted to see next, which was story, a vehicle, or more figures. And I voted for story. Even though I am a vehicle guy, his proposal for the vehicle didn't really excite me as much as I wanted a story for this. That was a personal choice, but part of me still wouldn't mind a vehicle. But he was kind of talking about taking somebody else's toy and then making like another part of it, which does sound pretty cool. It could go either way. I would like more figures too. I would like all of those. I would like all three things. But I think for him and for what he's trying to do with Operation Recall, maybe the story is the best way to set up for more success for more toys in the future. And after his panel, headed back downstairs for a little bit. I touched base with the After Action Report guys, Josh Eggbean and Roger Taft, and they were super nice to talk to, and we may be hearing more from them in the future on this podcast. I talked to them for a good 25, 30, 35 minutes because they were hosting Josh Blaylock, and I wanted to say hi to Josh Blaylock. I picked up an extra issue number one while at the third comic shop from Friday, because I wanted him to sign it because he did, you know, a great job. I am a fan of the Devil's Due series. I always have been a fan of the Devil's Due series. When it was de rigueur to hate on it, I think back in the day, I think he really did a great balance of telling a news story while doing appropriate fan service. And he ended it out with an absolute bang. And it's kind of a shame that it all got, quote unquote, disavowed with the IDW run for Hama to continue telling his continuity. I understand these decisions. I understand why everybody did what they did for, you know, comic book sales, of course. I was able to talk to Mr. Blaylock and just explain to him, you know, how much it was, you know, nice to meet him and how, you know, his version of G.I. Joe got me back into comic stores as an adult, which led me down the comic book rabbit hole where I am today. There was one more panel I wanted to go to. It was the Joe Declassified panel for 94 to 95. And there was a couple things left. So I still hadn't gotten my Retaliator yet. And the only thing I had of a Retaliator at home was Updraft's helmet. When I was looking for a Retaliator, I needed one complete with Updraft. The only consideration would be is if Updraft didn't have his helmet, which, guess what? That wasn't happening. So I was able to find my Retaliator, and it actually came with two Updrafts, both with helmets, only one with his pistol. I think I paid a competitive price for it, but I wouldn't say I got a deal on it. However, there was one other thing that I saw there that I felt was an absolute deal. But the problem was I have no way to package it at home. And by rights, when I bought this Retaliator, I really didn't have room in my suitcase for it either. The Cobra Detonator with Nitro Viper was my surprise impulse purchase. It's new in box. It's sealed. And the box is water damaged. It's one of those white cardboard boxes that Hasbro like to use with the color picture pasted on the front. The color picture has water damage and it's peeling off. To me, that is a find. That's what I want. And again, you may have noticed every G.I. Joe figure I bought, every G.I. Joe toy I bought was from 1990 and newer. That's right, I hit the neon 90s hard at Joe Fest. The good news is, because the Detonator and Retaliator were too big for me to take home, Casey from Podcast from the Pit took them home for me and shipped them out to me via UPS. So those should be arriving at my home any day now, and I'm sure my wife will be thrilled to sign for that package. But anyway, back to the con. The final panel that I went to for Saturday was the Joe Declassified 94 and 95 panel. They streamed it. It's available on social media as well as YouTube. I'll put the link in below. And really, they gave a non-rose-colored glasses timeline of what actually was happening in Hasbro / Kenner in late 94, in about with what was going to happen with the G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero toy line, going into G.I. Joe Extreme. And it was absolutely fascinating. However, when the panel ended, was also the end of the show. Now, remember, at the beginning of the show, I swung by and I snuck in a sketch from Mr. Hama. So I was sitting next to Doug, and I told him, I says, listen, I got to bug out early. You know, I'll catch you later. And he's like, yeah, okay, yep. So I swung down, and I got to Mr. Hama. You know, it's about 5 minutes before the show, and he's recording a podcast. And, you know, polite. That's all I wanted to be with anybody. He finished up the podcast. I'm standing next to Jason Morrell. And Jason Morrell is like, hey, Gary, before you do your thing, can I just pick up my roadblock sketch? And it's gorgeous. And if Jason hasn't talked about it yet in his podcast, sorry. So he picks it up. And then I go to Mr. Hama and I says, listen, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I want to cross my name off the list. Thank you for everything you've done. You know, very cordial. He was really nice back. You know, he understood. I says, I want to make sure that somebody else gets a chance to have their sketch because you know, again, I won't be able to pick up mine. So then he looked at my shirt, and I'm wearing the new Chaplain's Assistance Motorpod t-shirt. And he's like, wow, that's a cool shirt. Can I take a picture of that? And I says, I can do you one better. I can give you a shirt. And he's like, oh, really? And I says, yes, what size do you wear? And he goes, large. So I go digging through my backpack, and what do you know what? I don't have a large t-shirt on me. I had gotten rid of that size. And so I no longer had it in stock. It was back in my warehouse at my hotel room. I look over at Jason. I said, Jason, if I give you the large t-shirt, will you bring it to Mr. Hama first thing Sunday morning? And he goes, yeah, no problem. So I bid adieu and immediately left the convention to grab an Uber, to get back to my hotel room, to grab a large t-shirt, to go back to Jason. So I Ubered back to Jason. But the other good thing about Ubering back to my room was it meant I didn't have to carry all those toys again. So it did lighten my load a bit. Got back, and immediately after I got back, the lobby swaps in full swing again. It's got to be almost 20 guys at this point, and it's getting nuts. Go down to the hotel bar. I grab a bite to eat and a drink. And, you know, just proceeded to hang out for the rest of the night and talk and catch up with all the friends I've made, all the people I've met that I've only talked to online, listeners, you know, Twitter followers, and just, it was a great time. I got to say, the one thing about this Joe Fest that I left with was, it was probably the most positive experience I've had at a con. Everybody was so pleasant. And I really do mean that. Nobody was surly, regardless what you may have heard about them at previous cons. Everybody was just pleasant and happy. And it was truly was a festival of Joe. And I just want to shout out, besides the usual people that I've talked at length, Bart Simon. I got to meet Bart Simon, a regular G.I. Joeberg, and also Zazel Phoenix from Sergeant Slaughter's Slaughterhouse. You know, he flew all the way from Australia to hang out with Sergeant Slaughter and Slaughter's daughter and to go to Joe Fest. Awesome dude. And then another fellow Joeberger, Hans Chow. You know, he came from Trinidad and Tobago. And, you know, this is like when I go to, you know, tell people like about Terrificon and, you know, dude flew from Australia. No, like, this is the same type of thing. I mean, this show was awesome. His name escapes me now, but his name is Firefly. He was a really cool dude. He's normally on Hooded Cobra Commander's chat line during the live streams. The Bama Toy Mercs, they were the guys also doing a podcast, and they were the guys that were talking to Hama when I came up to him on Saturday afternoon. Again, another guy, I didn't get his name, at PG Toys on Twitter. He was on the Joe Declassified booth. He's another one of the Joe Declassified guys. He has an amazing collection, and he posts regularly on Twitter stuff. It's just cool, cool, cool stuff. I also met James Kavanaugh from the unofficial G.I. Joe Club, and he was really nice and really great to talk to. And there was this, and I really hate to say this because I talked to them for so long and I can't remember their names, but they were a vendor. It was a family, a husband, wife, and their precocious little four-year-old daughter. They were vending, and they were so nice. They were so pleasant and to hang out with Thursday night. And I wish them, I hope they had a great Joe Fest. Anybody that I mentioned that I don't remember your name, or anybody that I did meet and I didn't mention, I'm sorry, I apologize. Feel free to send me an email at chaplainjoepod@gmail.com to reach out and be like, hey, yo, you forgot me. I'm sorry, I apologize. I apologize in advance, and I will do my best to make it right. Sunday was my travel home day, and Sunday turned into kind of a nightmare. My flight, I thought was at noon, was actually at 1:19, so I woke up earlier than expected. I got to Augusta Airport, plenty of time to spare. So my flight was from Augusta to Atlanta to Bradley in Hartford, Connecticut. In Augusta, my flight got delayed by over an hour. And that's important because my layover in Atlanta was 1 hour and 6 minutes. So while I'm waiting for the storm to subside so they could fly from Atlanta to Augusta, I did see three military jet fighters take off from Augusta. So that was pretty cool. I wish I could tell you what they were. I mean, they just took off so fast. And you can tell, you know, a fighter jet from an airliner really quickly by the pitch of the engines. I get to Atlanta at 3:40. My flight left at 3:41. So I had to get on the next available flight. And that was 8:15. Well, 8:15 turned into 11:30 at night. And I got home at, by the time I landed at 1:30, got my truck and drove home, it was almost 3 a.m. in the morning on a Monday. And I worked on Monday at Sunday's Atlanta International Airport Con. Again, it was a great weekend. I want to do it again. It was really great hanging out with everybody. And the other thing is, with hanging out with everybody, I had Chaplain's Assistance MotorPod t-shirts. And I tried to give them out. And if you did not get one, reach out again, chaplainjoepod@gmail.com. And I'll get you the info you need to get them. And if you're listening to this and did not go to Joe Fest, same email, chaplainjoepod@gmail.com. Email for the details for me to get the shirts out to you. They're going to be really cheap because I want to make sure that anybody that listens has a chance to get them. I really want to get it out. I have sizes from adult small to 4XL. I might not have 3XL. Supplies are limited. Act while you can. Be more than happy to get, you know, some merch or swag out to you listeners. Well, I have been your host, Gary, and I thank you for listening to this 47th Missile for the Masses. If you've enjoyed this, feel free to rate and review wherever you listened, as it only helps to grow and improve this podcast. The Chaplain's Assistance MotorPod is hosted by Spotify for Podcasters. And if you're listening on Spotify, you also have the ability to answer the question and poll that accompanies this podcast. For more Chaplain's Assistance MotorPod, you can follow me on social media at Chaplain Joe Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and even YouTube. You can also reach out to chaplainjoepod@gmail.com. The Chaplain's Assistance MotorPod is the strange, but not as strange, nerdy little brother of The Pint, a pop culture podcast. There's been absolutely no threat of more flight delays if I don't say this. Now that all of that is out of the way, one final missile for the masses. Be decent to each other.